It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 608. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word. On Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. Have a great show lined up. I'm going to talk about software I had to use to convert movie formats, and I want to mention it because I used it for something I never thought I would have to use it for. And I want to share that, and it worked spectacularly. I have two interesting little stories about trying to get the exact details and symptoms around a problem from two separate clients. Kind of funny, the things they left out that they didn't think was important was the main reason to solve the problem was because of what they left out. Then how to fix a temporary profile problem. My son had to go to a client first thing Tuesday morning, and we were ready to do something, but he ended up doing something else. So I want to talk about that. I have some questions for help for you, from you. I am going to ask how you track your time. I want to know software. I still need more security tips, and I'm going to be sharing some with you tonight. And I want some feedback on a particular anti-malware program that I haven't used and I've been reading about, and I want some feedback. And then I got a stack of email. I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. Last week, I had to remote in to a half dozen Mac machines, including one last night where an iMac, I have them go to my website where I have a landing page that Instant House Call provides. I have a redirect to that landing page because I have a very short URL to type. They click on it, and on a Mac, you get that DMG file. They open it up, install Instant House Call, click Start Session. Now, you can't have unattended yet on a Mac, but I'm able to remote in and run all of the utilities I need to run. Having one company like Instant House Call across both platforms, Windows and Mac, makes it so much easier to support my clients and to support one-off emergencies. You can try Instant House Call free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com, start downloading the trial, enter the promo code MikeTechShow. Check that out. You will definitely like it. The first story, I want to mention software. I had a 4K, ultra 4K version of a movie that I wanted to watch. And I don't have a 4K PC or a 4K TV here. I have a 4K TV in my bedroom, but I wanted to watch it down here. So I don't have any 4K. And I figured, well, let me open it up and see if it'll even play. It won't even play. VLC tried and it stuttered and it would not play. I've owned the software I'm going to talk about for a couple years because I used a Acroc HD video converter. I've been using that for, like I said, a couple years because when I was traveling on an airplane, I would have different movies and I needed to convert them to the proper format. If you have a video file, you can convert it from whatever format you have to any destination format. It's very simple to use. So I load it, and I never went from Ultra 4K down to HD. I ran it in this software. Now, it took a while. It took 4 hours, but you just let it sit, give it the destination directory. It was beautiful. It worked flawlessly. So it took a Ultra 4K movie and downgraded it to HD. I've taken HD films and moved them, or maybe it's an AVI, an MKS, whatever format it is, and converted it to a format that would play on an iPad easier, and then transferred it to my iPad, or I didn't like the format it was in and I needed to change it for someone else because they can't view it. Maybe my son wants it. He can't view the AVI for some reason. I need to, or really it's the other way around. If he can't do an MKV and I move it to an AVI. So I do use this occasionally when I'm stuck with one format to another. And, you know, it brings up the same with audio, DB Power Amp. I love them. These software companies are not sponsors. They're just products that I use for converting. I want to be able to convert any video format to any. And the same with audio. I want to take any audio format and convert it to any other. And DB Power Amp takes care of the audio. So we got video and audio covered. The program's $39 for the Acroc HD video. For audio, I think it's $29 for DB Power Amp. I think you can use it for a little while for free. But if you're doing anything like I'm doing with the podcast, and I'm always presented with audio that I got to convert. And I do it all the time. A great example. The Soundbite cart player on my iMac does not play FLAC. I have to downgrade the FLAC format to an MP3 or WAV file and then transfer it over to my iMac because I have to use that audio in the cart player because that's tied in to the mixer, and any audio you hear, any music you hear is coming from a program called Soundbite, and it's a card player, and it's limited to what it can play for formats. And because of that, I need to be able to convert any audio to any other. You might send me audio message to my email account to play in a show, and I've gotten some really funky formats that won't play under the card player, and then I can easily convert it. You can send me any format and I can convert it. Want to talk about a couple problems I worked on last week. One was a client that bought one of my refurb desktops, and he told me he needed wireless. So I put, you know, an inexpensive wireless USB adapter, and I tested it here in my house, and it worked great. I said, all you got to do is pick your wireless network, enter your key, and you should connect with no trouble. He says, Mike, I get a call in a couple days. He said, you know, system's great, running good, but I can't connect to my wireless. I said, well, how far away? And he's like, well, it's not that far. And I'm like, okay. I said, why don't you take it closer? And he did take it closer, and it worked fine. I said, I think you got some interference or something. He said, no, I don't think so. We're talking a couple times. And I gave him some things to try, and let's reinstall the software. Now, on Thursday, we're meeting for lunch at my B&I, where we meet on Thursdays. And by the way, because of the snow today, they canceled it last night. So I was kind of glad I had the morning free. Last Thursday, he said, you know, I don't understand. I'm across the driveway in a little building that's... Whoa. I said, the Wi-Fi is not in the same building that you're trying to connect? No. Didn't I say that? And I was like, no. You left out a very important thing that we got to get through two structures, a driveway, and he left out that he was not even in the same building that he's trying to connect to. I gave him some options for some Hawking antenna options to broadcast the signal. I described to him the Pringle cans hack. It's just not elegant enough for what he wants to do. From a price standpoint, it's the way to do it, and that's where you get that Pringles can and you hook it up, run the wire to the slot where the antenna is, and you can extend the signal. So he has no wiring capability between the two structures. So he has to use Wi-Fi. Now, I haven't followed up with him yet. today, but he was supposed to get that a couple days ago, and I'm going to find out how he made out. But there's two ways to, if you have a signal where, especially your two different structures, and you can't get a wire between the two structures, you either got to boost the reception or boost the transmission, or maybe even both, depending on the distance you're trying to do. I think he'll be successful with just boosting the signal. And then I got to make sure, I've never been at his house, and this is his home office, which I think is a converted garage that he's remodeled and redone as his home office. He showed me some pictures, looks great. So he may need a more advanced USB Wi-Fi adapter for his machine where he's got a bigger antenna that can pull in the signal. I told him to go to Best Buy, pick up an antenna to boost, or go to Staples, go somewhere where it's easy to return if it doesn't work. And then I'll follow up with everybody on what he did settle on, the product, and then we'll talk about it. Another one, the system at the manufacturer facility will not communicate to the manufacturing machines. Two of them are Ethernet, three of them are via serial port that come to a serial switch box that goes to a custom serial card in the PC. They need to transfer the manufacturing files to the equipment out in the plant. This has been working for years, no problem. What we need to do is troubleshoot what's going on, because this PC is no longer communicating, or at least that's how it's described to me, is no longer communicating to the machines. Now, I have my son on site, and also my electrician happens to be down there doing electrical work. He checks out the Ethernet cables. They are perfect at both ends. I know the IP address, and I'm on the phone, and I have my son ping the machines. So we're communicating via Ethernet. The serial ports, we're just not seeing it. We bring up the software. It's WinVNC. We can't see the files on the machines that are the manufacturing machines. I find out that one of the engineers who's really, really involved with this, they did not consult. And I spoke with him. This is Friday afternoon, and he didn't have time to be able to work on this. They weren't doing any work over the weekend. So he said, look, Monday morning, he's going to come in. And I said, I really think there's something wrong with the software, and I am not versed on this software. So we really think there's a problem with the software and the settings, maybe something changed. Could you go and actually check this out? So he was going to go out there Monday morning, check it out, maybe even call the software manufacturer to help. He calls me in the afternoon and says, Mike, everything's fixed. Somebody upgraded the software on that PC to a new version, to actually 6.1, and didn't tell anybody. As we were asking everybody involved for anything that changed, no, nothing changed, nothing. Nobody did anything. Nobody changed anything. Well, they did a major upgrade on the software and failed to tell us. Once he put it back to version 5.1, to the older version, everything worked. Now, we don't know why the new version doesn't work, but at least we got everything running with the older version. Here's the point. When you're talking to the end user and you want to find out what changed, to them, nothing changed. But you really got to pry and dig and try to find out. Well, if this thing's been working for years and then all of a sudden stopped, something changed. Maybe it's malware. Maybe it's there was a software upgrade to the main program that stopped working. Nobody's scratching their head and like saying, hey, maybe I made this change and that's why things stopped working. But there's a lot of end users I find don't think about that. And those missing details is what's going to lead you to the solution a lot of the time. I wanted to share that. And here's another one. My son was on site. I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday morning, he's on site, a property management company, where one of the users was getting a temporary profile loaded. And this is Active Directory Domain Controller. And they're having troubles loading the profile. The one, I would say, most knowledgeable user there rebooted the system multiple times. They're still having the issue. So I talked to my son and said, look, I want you to go in there thinking you may have to rebuild the profile. And the way to do that, after you investigate, log in as the domain administrator account, then copy the files that you can from the original profile that's not working. Get the desktop, get the My Documents, get pictures, everything that you can, copy them to a different directory. So make a temporary directory, put them in there, then go back, bring up the where you can manage the profiles, delete the local profile, and then just log in and recreate a new profile and then copy the things back. Not that hard. When he gets there, there's pop-ups, there's all kinds. The system is infected. And we went in there thinking we got just a corrupted profile. Well, it was, but it was corrupted by malware. So once he did and performed a deep cleaning, everything worked perfectly. So we didn't even have to mess with the profile. But the way it was described, and to their credit, I like what they did, because when they said it's coming up with a temporary profile, they don't know that there's things happening behind the scenes like that. Everything was slow. It was a mess. And he could tell right away that the system was infected, which is another thing. Gwyn thinking that you gotta clean the system first, because I've seen that a lot where I failed to maybe run Crystal Disk Info to check a hard drive, or I failed to look for infections. But we've learned our lesson so many times. We go in there and we hit them first. Sometimes that solves the problem. As a matter of fact, a good portion of the time. I want to ask your help for some feedback for some future shows and for my benefit. I want to know, and I get asked this all the time, I do a very bad job of tracking the time that I spend working on clients. I have an iOS app that I don't bring up enough. I end up putting it in Excel, and it's only when I have the time to do it. And I'm writing down manual notes, or I'm looking up emails, I'm looking at my calendar to rebuild a timesheet, and that's very inefficient. What are you using to record time? I want to know that you are personally using it, not something that you've looked up or read. I want to hear from listeners who are personally using something that you are happy with in easily building invoices and timesheets for your client, because I need some help on this. And it's something I want to collect what you're doing. I know I'm thinking of Repair Shopper, and I keep talking about it and I don't pull the trigger, and that could be my answer. But I'm still worried that I'm going to take the time and fill out all that info in Repair Shopper. I know there's some disciplines that have to be applied to myself where I don't take the time and record it. So I'm looking for something fast, efficient, and easy to record time when I'm at a client. And I know half the battle, I don't think, is technology. It's me not writing down accurately, and I have to go back and I have to rebuild it. And it takes so much time rebuilding. I could use some help there. I was looking for a replacement for CombiFix for Windows 10, because we really don't have one yet. Love CombiFix for analyzing and fixing things on Windows 7. We don't have a good, reliable solution for Windows 10. When I was on Bleeping Computer, I was looking around. There's FRST, and that's Farber Recovery Scan Tool. I want to know, is anybody using this on Windows 10 to diagnose infections? I'm going to put the tutorial link in the show notes, and I want to know if anybody's been using that successfully and what you're doing. And if you can record a voicemail, leave me a voicemail, send me an email detailing some feedback, and then I will share it with everybody. But I'm very curious before I go down the path of start using and analyzing, and I haven't went through all the documentation yet for it. I want to get some feedback. The last thing for feedback is your feedback on security tips. Keep sending them. That's the perfect segue to this story from John. I thought you would find this interesting. My wife told me her dad's laptop was having a problem. So we went over to look at his laptop. When I sat down at his laptop, he began telling me what the problem was. He said that a Microsoft support window popped up stating his computer had problems and it included a phone number. I asked him if he dialed the number and he said yes. My next question was, did you give them a credit card? And he said yes. After telling him who he gave his credit card to and to immediately call his credit card company to put a hold on his card and to dispute any charges they made, I started to scan his machine. I used Malwarebytes to scan the machine. It found a routine called IEPV. I looked up this program and it scans Internet Explorer to retrieve any stored passwords and saves them. He mentioned he thought about changing his passwords, and I told him it would be a good idea to change all of them. Also, in the download folder, I saw three occurrences of Log Me In Rescue sessions on two different days. When I asked him about it, he said that they called back the next day to tell him some more information. I went through his computer and removed all of the Log Me In related files, including the ones in his local directory under app data. While doing that, I found a PDF and a text file from the company. The company name was Apogee Online. The PDF was a user agreement which detailed all the charges that the client had agreed to. The item that I had never seen is on the tool, on the taskbar. They had managed to place a message which said Microsoft support with their phone number. I finally figured out how they managed to get it there by defining a new toolbar and assigning it to a directory in the documents folder by that name. The next step will be to wipe the machine and perform a clean install, since it is almost impossible to guarantee that I was able to remove all the programs they had modified. I agree 100% on how you're approaching this. My question, is there a software package I can install to help protect my father-in-law other than his antivirus software? Any recommendations would be appreciated. Also, I'm including pictures of the screens of some of the items I found. Thank you for all the information you've been providing during your show. John, there's no magic software except the following. Don't let him be an administrator. That'll help with the ability for him to allow someone to install something or maybe to install a Log Me In. It's social engineering. There's no, we can stop block ups and pop ups, put ad blocker in, put strong web protection so it can help, but it can't stop it. When something comes on the screen, asked you to call a phone number, there's nothing that will stop your dad or anybody from picking up a telephone and dialing a number. Then it's all just social engineering. The only way to prevent that is education. This is an exact reason why I'm putting together security tips for senior individuals to make it, at least get them aware of these scams and how they're doing it. I was watching the news the other night, and there was an IRS scam. By the way, the IRS will never call you on the phone. They will send you a letter. There's two people in my house that actually work for the IRS. The scam begins, and when do you hear this? And this was on ABC, this was Channel 6 News here locally in Philadelphia. The person, they get called, and the person's pretending they're from the IRS, and they're scaring them that they owe this money. They got to pay it right away. We got the police ready to come and arrest you. And it's terrible, terrible scare tactics to an older individual who gives up his credit card number. So they use it. There's charges. You want to hear what they do? They come back the next day, call him to tell him that credit card did not work. Do you have another credit card? And the man gave up a second credit card because he thought it was legit. Think of the gall for these people. Remember last week I shared that you can't even say yes to someone you don't know on the phone. I am absolutely convinced that you can no longer, and this is what I would set up for and what I'm going to be recommending to people. Don't answer your telephone. Screen every single call that comes in. Set it to one or two rings. Let it go right to voicemail and then listen to the voicemail and decide whether you're going to call them back or not. And if you think it's legit, then we find that company. And you can't just look up a company anymore. You can't just look for Dell tech support online. Half the items that come up are scams. You got to actually go to Dell.com. Well, users can't do that anymore because thank you, Microsoft, and thank you all of the other companies who want you to search for everything and remove the capabilities of directly typing an address. I don't answer my phone. Barely do I ever get a legitimate phone call on my phone. Everybody's cell phones now anyway, but if we're talking older individuals, maybe they still live by that hard landline and not their cell phone. So just things that we got to be aware of. So we have to build a process and education and simple things that users can follow that will prevent them from being compromised. This is a follow-up on security tips from Austin. Hi, Mike. You asked for tips. Here's my top one. Read the installation screens of all software properly and don't click on next without reading. You can also show them to install unchecky. That's a good recommendation. And not just that, always pick advanced, which is what Kate referred to in hers. That's a big one where you always pick advanced, always pick an option where you can uncheck boxes for not letting the bad stuff come in. This was Kyle, and I fixed a link last week where someone recommended Easy Disk Repair. It seems like that's a problem. So I removed the link and put the Beta News article in the show notes last week. And I did that the minute I got Kyle's email, and I checked that. So if you send me a link, it may not make it that week. I now got to vet every link that comes in. When you send me a link, don't just Google it and send me a link. Please let me know. If you don't tell me that you are a user and have successfully used the program, it will never make the show anymore. That's something that I got to stop sharing the possibility where you trust me and you trust my links, and I can't betray that by just passing on a link that a listener sends me. So I need you to tell me how you've used it and how you, if you're recommending something, I need to know you personally used it. And if you didn't, don't send it to me. Because if you're not telling me in the email, maybe I'll follow up and ask, but there's a 100% chance it will not make it into a show or I'll read it or share it. I just wanted to give that caveat out there for anybody who's sending me links. Here's one, and this is from Cormac. And Cormac, I actually downloaded this program and ran it because I remembered it from the past that I've used it once. He states, I had a failing Mac drive. I couldn't get the data off using another Mac or Linux. So I downloaded this, and it's from catacomb.org, and it's HFS Explorer. I was able to read the data, photos, etc., and get the customer data's back that way. Probably know this, Mike, but might help someone out there. Thanks from Ireland, Cormac. Thank you, and I have ran this program. USB data recovery and imaging software. This is Terry. Even though our school district has free Office 365 accounts for teachers, the teachers will use USB drives to transfer data to and from home. In 1 week, three teachers lost data because their VDI terminals made the drives unreadable. This problem is not happening on Dell OptiPlex desktops or Dell Latitude laptops. I told a couple of teachers to try EASIS Data Recovery. I've used that program, so I will put that link in. And they were able to recover their files. 500 meg can be recovered for free. And then after 500 meg, you got to pay. But hey, if it's recovering files for you, it's worth paying for. although we are now using Microsoft MDT to image computers, for about 6 months, we used the Fog Project software. It really worked well, and it was free. And that's at fogproject.org. A lot of you have mentioned about the Fog Project and the success for using that for helping re-imaging systems. And it's just a Linux distribution that you can install. Thanks to those links, they'll be in the show notes. This is the last email. This is a quick Win 10 ping tip. This is from Kevin, the computer doctor. Hi, Mike. I wanted to share a quick tip that I recently found in an office network I'm setting up. I have a peer workstation, QuickBooks host machine that is brand new Windows 10 Pro. We configured it in our office for headless operation, but when on site at the client's office, it wouldn't respond to pings. So I remoted into it and, of course, was prompted to select if this is a trusted or public network. I figured, of course, that'll do the trick. Nope, it still would not respond to pings. So I remoted back in and checked the advanced sharing settings. I found that you have to select turn on file and printer sharing in order to get it to respond to a ping. Just a quick tip for a veteran tech that has spent 20 minutes trying to not Google my way out of this. Thanks, Kevin. That's a tremendous tip. Thank you. If you purchase from Amazon or know anybody that purchases from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really, really appreciate that. Also, Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro, incredible. When you got to transfer information from one system to another, that's the answer. Tech Site Builder, anybody that you know that has a tech website, techsitebuilder.com. The Computer Business Kit version 3 from Bryce Whitty from TechNibble. We love TechNibble. If you need forms, manuals, anything to help make your repair business or computer consulting or repair easier, that Computer Business Kit version 3 will have the answers. That's it. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight and for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.